It's good to see y'all today. Just a quick note, just a thank you from Debbie and I on behalf of y'all's generous salary increase for us. We've been in this thing 35 years, 20 years here. And who was with us? Who started with us here at 20 years? Raise your hand. Okay. Things have changed a lot since our first church 35 years ago. Our salary increase then was a $100 bonus at Christmas. So we're grateful. I don't feel like I deserve that. Debbie does. Debbie does a lot. She did a lot before she was ever paid. You know, she was basically full-time for 8 years. So I appreciate that for her. Because there's a lot of things Debbie does. If you think I ever accomplished anything, two-thirds of that was because of her. That's the way that works, okay? So she does a lot to, I mean, she don't study for me and do my sermons. I don't mean that. But I mean, there's just so many other things that has to be done that I can't talk to anybody else about just because there's so many things going on here that nobody else in the church can know about them. But she is, not only does she have an education in that, but she's got a lot of common sense. So there's a lot of things she does to help me that that no one else knows about it. So, I appreciate it for her. Like I said, we're grateful because we absolutely know what it is. And, boy, this has been a ride for us, 20 years. Who was here in the first days when we used our own credit cards for the money for the church because we had no credit? Anybody? A couple of us? Yes. Y'all remember those days. So, you know, God has blessed us in a unique way because we are not normal. We're not a normal Baptist church. Our philosophy has never been like everybody else's, and God has blessed it. You know, we were in that normal philosophy for about 15 years, and God never did in this, all those 15 years in other places a fraction of what he's done here. And you know, I learned this from Leo Humphrey when I went to El Salvador with him on a mission trip back in the 80s. That was right when the Civil War had finished, so it was a little different time. But this is what he, you know, Leo never raised money, but he financed five families in El Salvador. And this was his mentality. If you're doing what God says to do, God will give the money. You don't worry about it. That's the way it should be. You know, you've never heard me preach on money, and you're not going to. I'm going to try to teach you to love Jesus, and if you love Jesus, he'll give you money. And then God, when we quit doing what God says to do, he'll shut the thing down. That's the way it should go. And I just appreciate you, our church, for letting us operate our church the way it does. Because I think the way that's what God wants. There are some rules we have to follow, but there's sometimes rules that are nonsense. And you know, we don't want to rule ourselves out of effectiveness. And that happens sometimes. Well, that's a long way to say we're grateful. Hey? Let's pray. Lord, we are just amazed that you would use us all. Father, what you've done here in 20 years in the people's lives, we just thank you for letting us be a little part of it. We just ask your blessings upon it. Help us continue to follow you, that you would use us in extended ways for your glory. Thank you that we can depend on you and your word. Help us to always seek to live our lives to bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we are continuing on in Revelation, and just remember, everything that we started talking about, even in chapter 2 and 3, is still going on. It's not like the things that happened in chapter 3 or 4 are done, and now everything is still circling. All that cycle is still going. So when we look at chapter 13, it's building on all the things that are already going. And you have to remember that, especially in chapter 13, what happened in chapter 12. So I'm just going to highlight a little bit of what we talked about last week, and then we'll get on into quickly a few things in chapter 13. And that is my thing working? Yes, it is. You remember what happened in chapter 12, right? That was when Satan really understood what Christ did on the cross to defeat him. And now he's angrier than ever, so he attacks Israel. He attacks the woman to try to do away with Christ. And since then, from then on until the end of Revelation, when Jesus comes back, he's doing everything he can to ruin the believers. That was his intent. You're trying to ruin their life, if you want to call it the messianic community, which is just believers. So that's what's going on. You have to remember that, because that's happening, and then he comes along, and you see Antichrist, and then the false prophet in chapter 13, verse 11, that we'll pick up next week. And you see all these things are going on, but the things are going on again. We'll go back to some of the other chapters, because nothing has stopped, okay? That's one way we get into trouble. When we say, oh, well, that was in chapter 3, it's not done. It's still moving. Those things are still happening. So we have to keep that in mind, all right? And that's exactly what he's trying to do. He's frustrated. He's going to do everything he can to ruin God's people. So that is exactly what's happening here in chapter 13. And we picked it up last week. And this is one of the things. The power of Satan expresses himself in Antichrist. Remember what John said? John said in 1 John chapter 2, John, the one who wrote Revelation, you know, he says, there are already Antichrist among us, okay? This thing has been going on, and the whole thing that we looked at last week was this. You can find historical, concrete evidences that Christ has been working in little forms of little Antichrist. The big Antichrist will come later on, and we'll see that. But all these things, John said, they're already going on. And they're not monsters. Some people say, well, I don't want to study Revelation because it's talking about monsters. No, it's not. It's talking about people. It's talking about philosophies. It's talking about ideologies. It's talking about governments that surrender to Satan's control. That's what it is. And there were all these concrete evidences of it. And here was the thing we learned last week. They never stop. Remember what it says? He had a fatal wound. So we expect him to what? Die. But he was healed. Why? You know, Satan can come through Hitler, but he won't always look like Hitler. He'll look like Pope Innocent III. He'll look like all kind of different ways. So here's the thing. You must remember, raw evil will never end until Jesus comes back. So you always have to be looking for it. Because so subtly, the devil will use a government. He'll use a system. And he will use that to get his will done. And if we're not careful, we submit to that. And we follow that in our life. And that's exactly what we looked at. All of last week was historically. We looked at the things that were going on. Antiochus Epiphanes, how he was the absolute epitome of blasphemy. And we'll pick that up in one of the things today if we hurry up. All right, are y'all listening fast enough? Okay, I'm trying. I'm trying to hurry. Danny, I put all these notes up there on the internet, and you can print them out or you can read them, because there's a lot of things I'll put up there that I won't talk about. But a lot of things that are that helps us try to understand some of this. Antichrist keeps coming back and keeps coming back. Why? Because the devil is evil. And until Jesus does away with him, he will keep resurfacing. That's the main thing that he's talking about. He had a fatal wound, but yet he healed. He came back and he came back and he came back. So don't be surprised. Evil is going to be with us there again. That's what he's saying. On a historical level, these things have been happening, and they're going to continue to happen. That's basically the whole point of the first part of what we looked at. Where did Hitler get his power from? The devil. Where did the Gnostics, who, you know, if you know anything about New Testament theology, the Gnostics and what they were trying to do with messing up the whole philosophy of Jesus, where did they get it from? They got it from the devil. Where did Pope Innocent III, you know, where did he get it from? Everything was run by the devil. That's where it comes from. So we don't need to be surprised when our government operates from a standpoint that when you evaluate, you say, the devil is behind that. Absolutely. Oh, sure. Let me hurry up, all right? I'm going to try not to be political. I just can't help it. Because it's where we live. Isn't that right? Everything is... Okay. First, the beast of the sea, we saw that last week. The Antichrist. Actually, the Antichrist embodies all the evil of the previous empires. put them all together. The Babylonians, the Persians, the Assyrians, every one of them. It was the epitome of all that put together. And John's perspective was what? Here's one of the main things he wants us to understand. John is setting the context in the time of Rome. And at that point in time, Rome was kind of the worst thing that was going on. But he says, listen, remember the eighth king and the seven kings out of Daniel chapter 7? He said, don't get caught up with this. Everything's going to be back in Rome one day, and it's going to be set up that way. You know, I read over some 30-year-old sermons this week from guys I respect concerning this. But I look at it and I say, I don't think that's right. Because they preached this sermon 30 years ago and they said, this is going to happen and this is going to happen. And 30 years have passed and that hadn't happened. And according to them, that was going to happen if they were right. So what does that mean? They were not right. Daddy always said, time will tell. Isn't that right? Time will tell. And what it is, everybody gets so concerned about, well, it's got to be set right up in Rome again. Paul said, John says, make sure you understand, this thing goes far beyond Rome. And that's exactly what he's trying to help us understand with this eighth king that he talked about last week, this eighth ruler that's going to come up. Oh, no, 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 no. It's far bigger than that. It's far bigger than that. You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, go look at the notes, all right? The beast's authority is finally derived from where? Satan. Satan is the dragon. Where does all this come from? What did Jesus say himself? You are your father, the what? The devil. And what? He's been a what from the beginning? A liar. And a conniver. And a schemer. And he's going to keep doing it until Jesus does away with him on down the path. He reoccurs in the first century, in the second century, in every century, in the 20th century, in the 21st century. Right? That's exactly what it is. Don't ever be surprised that evil still exists. Why? Because it's never going away until Jesus comes back. Until he comes back, we have to deal with it. All right? I'm going to hurry and get through a couple of these things. All right? Where is it? Where's the main heading I want? All right. I threw this in there again. Remember, the World War I was going to be the what? The end of all wars. Then what happened? World War II. And then what happened? The Cold War and the Korean War. You know, there's some, I don't know what to call them. You have to be intelligent to write a book that says, there will be no more wars in history. You know, somebody wrote one of those just a few years ago. Oh, yeah, that's the end. After the Cold War is over, there will be no more wars. Let me go ahead and tell you, that will never stop. There's always going to be someone fighting somewhere on this planet. Why? Because raw evil exists, and the devil is behind it. That's exactly, and he said, don't be surprised. Satan takes over the legitimate interest of the state. Do we see that in COVID? You might not agree with me on that. I don't really care. You can see all the evidence now. That's exactly what he does. He'll find anything he can of the state until the state becomes his tool to oppose Christ. That's the way it always is. That's how you look for it. So whenever somebody comes up with this great idea, you say, well, wait a minute. Let's weigh that a little bit. Let's sift that down through the scripture and see what comes out at the bottom, because that doesn't sound very good. John said this, where the issue is not a political power. It was a church problem. When he's writing, he says, they went out from us because they were not of us. And had they been with us, they would never have gone out from us. It wasn't a political thing in Rome. It was a church problem that was going on. Do you think the devil can use churches to get his job done? If you're paying any attention in the United States right now, you have to say, absolutely. Why? Case in point, all the churches that got behind this crazy gender stuff and said, oh, yeah, it's all right. Are you kidding me? You think the devil was using those churches? Absolutely. Oh, well, you know, that's exactly what's going on. He can use anything, and he will use anything that he can. The understanding of this might be tied to something else from John, and that's it. He said, my dear children, it's the last hour, and you have already. It's until that happens. The arrival of Christ absolutely ensures the arrival of the Antichrist until finally when Jesus condemns him forever and forever, and we enter into a new heaven and new earth. But until then, we're in a fight. You know, we're in a fight. We're in a fight against raw evil, and the devil is always the one behind it. And from his point of view, this is what he wants to understand at the end of the day. He says this, He doesn't want us to make everything about the Roman Empire. In a lot of theology in the last 50 years, that's where it was centered on. Oh, Rome's going to be set up again, and it's going to do this. I'm not sure that's the way it's going to be. But he says, well, no, this thing's not just tied to Rome. It's so much bigger than Rome. That was a symbolic example that John used because that was what was in existence at the day in which he's writing. But everybody wants to say, oh, yeah, the European common market, it's going to come up. There's a lot of that stuff has come and gone since everybody predicted it's going to happen. It may happen that way, but it's hard to prove from the scripture that's what's going to happen. The sum total of all the active historical opposition against the it's been coming from all kind of angles. That's what he says. All right. My thing just cut off. There it is. Here's the question. Will we, you and I, in a culture survive if we push God to the periphery on the outside and worship self? There's a lot of people that worship themselves. It's all about me. Isn't that right? And it's not just teenagers. I know quite a few 40-year-old people who think the world survives around them. Some of you have kids that are that way, right? 40-year-old kids that are that way. Self-worship and self and things and success and money and sports and media and personalities. They have become God. Do you think the devil can't use that? That the Antichrist, that he can't use every one of these for his good? Do you think we worship sports today? How many billions of dollars are thrown at that? Come on. You know, I'm not against sports. I just don't watch it. The only sports I care about is when I'm playing in it. Or Meredith. I'd go watch her. I don't watch anything else. I'm not against it. If you like it, okay. But you understand what I'm talking about, right? That is a God. And if we're not careful, we succumb to it. And the devil will use anything to get his will done. Exactly right. These are all forms of the beast. And if we're not careful, we will submit to it because the Antichrist comes in so many forms. We've already seen that from a historical perspective. Now, finally, number two. That was all number one, by the way. I did organize this a little bit better. And on each head, a blasphemous name. At one level, the language is tied to Roman emperors. Why? In the day John's writing this, Rome had deified their emperors after Claudius. So they would make their emperors to be gods. Even now, early on, it was after they died, but now they got to the point where while they were still alive, they would make them gods. Domitian, who I think was the leader at the time John is writing this, you find it in writing. They worship him as Lord our God. And there was a thing for a long time in the Roman Empire where everyone would have to bow down to Caesar in some form at least once a year and say, Caesar is Lord, like he's God. And when the Christians wouldn't do it, guess what they'd do? Hey, you're done. All you had to do was just say it. Well, God wouldn't want us to get killed, so we'd just say, Caesar is Lord, and we knew we wouldn't mean it, and we'd go on about our business. That's kind of the way we operate, isn't it? As long as it doesn't cost us anything. They wouldn't do it, so they'd get killed. So that's exactly what's going on. Is there any more worse blasphemy than someone saying, I'm God? Is there any worse blasphemy in my own life when I say, I'm God? I'll do what I want to do. I'll go where I want to go. I'll say what I want to say. And God can't. I decide. You know what we do? It's called sin. When I put what I want over what I know clearly what God wants me to do, then I have just become God. I've just become a practical atheist because I'm in control. I say I believe God, but I'm going to control my life. It's the same thing. We don't always tie it that way, do we? Oh, well, I don't think I'm God, but you're doing exactly what you know God doesn't want you to do, so you just made a choice where your choice trumps God. Isn't that right? And then what we do? That's exactly right. That's exactly right. It was the epitome of blasphemy, which would inevitably be a great offense to the believers. They said, oh, no, we don't like that. He's not God. We're not going to worship him. The Roman Senate, that's exactly what they did. First off, they did it to deceased gods, and then later on, some of the emperors said, oh, I don't want to wait till I'm dead. I'm going to be a god now. So that's exactly what they did. They made God out of their horses. some of the leaders' horses. Yeah, they made a god out of horses. Yeah, it's historical. You can read it. It says the beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies. Wow. Look how that works. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and all those who live in heaven. Blasphemy, where did that come from? Antichus, he was the ultimate. What did he do? He said, I'm God. Until the Maccabean revolt, he is absolutely the picture of the epitome of blasphemy. And I think that's why John uses him. It's not just the 3.5-year tribulation time. He uses that as a picture of the symbol, a symbol of how evil things are going to get. As this thing comes down to the end. 2 Thessalonians, he said, the one who comes, who opposes and exalts himself over everything that is called God, or he said, you're going to worship me. Now, this is where it comes down for us. And sets himself up as God in the temple. That's exactly what Antipas Epiphanes did. What does it mean to blaspheme? Well, I don't curse. There's a lot more to blaspheming than profanity. Oh, that's just a fraction of it. Does that include that? Oh, yeah, it does. But it's not that. It includes all kinds of things. It means anything that you can do to belittle God. You know how people do sometimes? Oh, geez, my geez. No, same thing. You just brought Jesus down to your level. You just brought him down to us. You're just saying, oh, he's no more than any of the rest of us. Anything you do in that fashion, you've just blasphemed God. And that's exactly what he's doing, to make him evil. All of it slandering God because it portrays God as somebody other than who he really is. And we do that sometimes. Sometimes we don't think about it. The whole question is this. Who's in charge? This day, who's in charge of my life? Do I stand back and poke fun at others, including God? Or is God in charge of me? You know, that's the issue we have to deal with every day until Jesus comes back. Now, the Antichrist demands allegiance. Did you see that during COVID? You see how now you say, why do you keep talking about it? Because it's a perfect example. Now we understand what pressure the government was putting on the media so that we wouldn't get the truth. Why? Oh, you got to agree with us or we'll put you out of business. Remember? Remember the Christians who didn't want to cook for homosexuals or whatever? It wasn't that they couldn't get it cooked somewhere else. They just said, oh, no, you will do exactly what we say or we'll destroy you. That's what this is. Complete allegiance. Oh, and that's where it's going to be. Look quickly with me, and we have to hurry. He was given authority over every tribe. Does this sound like chapter 4 and 5, where God was given authority over every tribe? You see what he does? He tries to ape God in every one of these senses. He tries to set up an unholy trinity where he's got the Antichrist and he's got the devil and the false Christ, and they all try to take the place of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We'll see this as it unfolds, but that's exactly what it says. Oh, I'm going to be over every tribe and every people and every nation, just like God is. Those who worship the beast. That's what he's trying to set up. All whose names have not been written in the book of life. You know, that is the main thing. Do you know before you die today, if you died, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? And here's how you get it written. When you trust Jesus as your Savior, and I don't mean just words, I mean with your life, he writes your name with his blood in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the only way you get to heaven. And it says this, whose names were written in the Book of Life before time ever began. What does that mean? Did God know? God knows. He's not going to make you believe. A lot of people say, oh, well, I don't have a choice. That is straight out of hell. That's fatalism. I can show you clearly that is not what the Scripture says, but I've been around it all my life. Oh, I don't really have a choice. You have a choice for everything else. You have a choice who you marry. You have a choice. But God's not going to give you a choice even after he tells you. You're just going to see how this thing unfolds. You don't know how hard it might get. It says, you need to do that now. That's what that means. That was slain from the creation of the world. Why? Why would you take a chance on that? You know, that's what it says. Now, you're getting this thing set up, and we're going to see it unfold even more in chapter 14. This is what you have. You get either the people who are lined up under the beast, or under Jesus. How many times did Jesus say that? You're either for me or you're either pregnant or you're not. There is no in between. I don't care what kind of game we talk. Jesus knows our life. In our life, absolutely. You know, John MacArthur, he says he's on the last lap. You know, John is how old now? 80, good night, 80 something. He had an interview the other day when he just said, you know, I'm about over physically. I'm about to be done. And, you know, he's been in hot water so long because he said, oh, no. Your life shows whether you're saved or not. Lordship, salvation. Boy, he's right. You need to examine. You may be talking this big game that you know Jesus, but if you're living like a pagan, then you're not. You better get that straightened out. That's what it says. You're either lined up under the beast or you're lined up under the lamb. There's no other option. Where are you? That is the main thing. You know, and this thing intensifies as we get closer to the end of it. You say, well, I'm just going to wait. If you think it's hard to follow Jesus now, stay with us and go through Revelation and see what happens in the coming days. Oh, boy. You know, and I don't know. I don't know how much of that persecution we're going to go through. I don't know that. I just know it's already to Christians. You agree? From all kind of angles. And this is not even a drop in the bucket of what it could be whenever Satan sure enough takes over. There are only two groups. At the end of the day, you either worship the beast or you worship Jesus. You know, that's it. There's only two groups. You worship the lamb or you worship the beast. You know, and this is it. Well, I'm not wicked. You know, the people that worship the beast are not particularly awful people. They're not horrible people. They would be, by some evaluation, they're pretty good people. They just don't trust Jesus. You know, that's what he's talking about. Just because they're not evil doesn't mean that they're not worshiping the beast. You either worship Jesus or you worship the beast. You either live your life for Jesus or you live your life for yourself, which is the beast. That everybody except for those are in the Lamb's Book of Life. Wow. You know, it's kind of funny, isn't it? When we get on over there in chapter 20 of Revelation, it talks about when the books are opened. Did you ever pay attention that there's only one book of those that actually go to heaven? The Lamb's, a singular book. I don't know how many people named the book a whole, but it says the books of evil that were sent to the great white throne to be judged. There were a multitude of those, but there's only one book of those in the Lamb's Book of Life. You just need to make sure, that's all. You know, I can't save you. I'm not going to judge you. But the main thing is, at the end of the day, are you worshiping Jesus now or are you worshiping the beast? And that's what it's going to come down to. That's exactly what John is talking about. The formula of 7B says, from every... That's exactly where he's trying to copy God, remember? It's told us already earlier in the book where God says, from every nation, tribe. Then he comes back and said, oh, no, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to grab all these people from all these places. And that's exactly what he's trying to do. Now, at one level, it's understandable, especially during a totalitarian regime. You know what that means, right? It doesn't really matter if it's Nazis or what it is. You know, anyone who's in control demands everyone agree with them. Hello? Did we see that? Oh, you got to agree with us on this gender thing. You got to agree with us on this CRT. If you have to agree with us because you're wrong if you don't. Did we see that? Oh, yeah. You don't have to be in Beijing for that to happen. It happened right here in the United States. It doesn't really matter either whether it's the left or the right. Everybody has to exactly believe the very same thing. Remember Divergent? It's one of them weird movies, you know. I didn't watch any more of them. I said, oh, it's just bad. They make one movie that's kind of okay. Then the rest of them, man, they go off out yonder somewhere else in some space somewhere. Remember what it was? There was that drug. If you were one of those Divergents where the drug wouldn't control you, you were a threat. Anytime you think outside of the government, anytime you think outside of this group that's in control, you are a threat. Can't have any free thinkers. Isn't that right? Left or right. You know, they come to, you know, I've had people come to me because I'm about as conservative as you can be theologically. Okay? They'll come to me and they say, well, that don't sound right because you're doing this. I said, well, Wait a minute. So they, this, unless you do it like us, you can't be on our, you can't be in our court. I said, I'm probably more theologically conservative than you are, but I'm not going to do what you're doing. But they want to force you in it. Well, all of them do. Any denomination. Oh, you got to be just like us. You think it's any different in where there's a Hitler? No, they've always. Nazis, everybody. That's exactly what they demand. Everybody's exactly got to do the same thing. It doesn't really matter. You have to be like us. You have to think like us. You want to get in trouble? Well, I don't exactly agree. I remember the first time I did that. I was just a farmer in our little country church, and they had this idea that they was coming up with how they were going to get the new preacher. I've served in every capacity you can serve in church long before I ever was paid, all right? I know all about everything, how it works, unfortunately. And they came up with this idea, and I said, I don't think that's right. I was 18 years old. All the old deacons started looking at me and said, what do you mean? I said, this is what I think. Well, they said, we not doing that. Well, they decided to do that. I won't tell you what it was. It wasn't ungodly. I think it was godly, actually. Just nobody had ever done it that way. But they look at you and say, well, you got to be just like us. I don't think you can have a good reasoning on, you got to show me why. You know, I want to know why we're doing that. I don't want to just say. But there's a way in a democratic society that you can have a kind of totalitarianism without the imposition of absolute authority. Here's how that works. The worship of a satanically inspired perversion of secular authority. Wow. Boy, we've had an example of that one in the last 4 years. It's still an ultimate offense against the one true God. But we follow it. Don't even think about it. The devil's behind some of this stuff. Right? That's what he's talking about. That's exactly what it is. At the end of the day, the demand of all society is to worship pluralism. You know what pluralism is, mean? Everybody's right. Oh, you like this gender stuff, then you're right. If you like this, then you're right. Everybody's right. That's what pluralism means. Nobody's wrong. No one is wrong. So you can't tell them they're wrong. If you do, it's what? Hate speech. That's what it's called now, hate speech. Oh, I don't agree with you. Well, that's hate feet. Hate speech. Here's where it is. Or to worship self-fulfillment. Boy, that's where we are. Well, I deserve. It's my right to be a moron. Yes, that's right. It's your right. And boy, you exercise it. That's probably not nice, is it? I didn't call him by his name, though. But I can. A society or to adopt a therapeutic model in which the whole universe is there to serve me. How many people go to churches just so they can get their needs met? Big churches. Why? Because, well, I know I live right over here and this little church needs me over here, but I don't have my needs met over there. I'm going to go over there where it's all done for me. Been there before? Well, I don't want to get my hands dirty and help them. I want to get, why? Because I want to go where they serve me. That's it. That's an epidemic in church in America today. If you don't know anything about it, it is. It's been around a long time, but it's just gotten worse. I'm number one. Boy, we're there. I deserve to be heard. I deserve my way. That's the whole universe in rebellion against God. Is that Antichrist? Absolutely. It's not your will, it's the Antichrist. And God is, and Satan is using the whole system to get his will done. And when it's done as a whole secular group, we accept it. And we just go along. And nobody says anything. Well, we don't want to cause any trouble. We got to quit. If you get right with Jesus now, you don't have to worry. But you may have to change your life. Don't play some kind of game thinking, oh, well, I'm going to trust Jesus and get baptized, but I can still live like hell if I want to. It doesn't work that way. Now, if you intend to end up going to heaven, or if you intend to have your life changed, that doesn't work that way. What we're going to do now is we're not going to sing. The group is leaving next Saturday, so we won't meet again before the group goes to Guatemala. So, Dallas wanted to have a prayer over that group, so that's what we're going to do instead of this last song. Just be praying for them, the families, what they do while they're over there, their safety. There's all kind of elements involved in that, so just remember that. If you're a guest today, good to have you with us. And just keep praying, studying the book of Revelation, and understand all we can about it, because it is where we live, in the middle of it. Donald, you ready? Let me pray then. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this day, for the truth of your word. Lord, help us just to see how important it is to be able to recognize how the devil uses things in our society, in our life, and if we're not careful, we submit to it, and it controls us. Please help us to be wise enough to stay away from that and live in a glorified way for you. In Jesus' name, amen.